You're listening to the weekly Parsha podcast with Ari Goldwag, recorded with Hashem's never-ending assistance in Ramat Beit Shemesh, Israel, 5786, 2026. This week's Parsha is Parsha Zachremos and Kedoshim, and it is my Bar Mitzvah Parsha. So it's always fun to take a look at this Parsha again. And I'd like to share with you a Medrash. It's on the Psukim that have to do with the concept of Shchutei Chutz. Shchutei Chutz means that once we have a Mishkan, once we have a Beis HaMikdash, so previous to that, it was permitted to bring korbanos on something called bamos. Bamos were altars that were public altars. They could be anywhere. They could be basically anybody could bring. They have to be a bechor, firstborn, to be able to use a bama, to be the one who brings the sacrifice there. But it could be brought basically anywhere. Once there's a mishkan, however, or a Beis HaMikdash, so the korbanos cannot be brought anywhere a person would like to. The korbanos have to be brought in the Mishkan or the Beis HaMikdash. The psukim in this week's parsha say like this, Vayedaber Hashem al Moshe le'emor. Hashem spoke to Moses and said, Daber al Aaron ve'albonav al kol b'nei Israel, speak to Aaron and his sons and to all of the children of Israel. Yomar ta'aleim and say to them, Zeh ha'davar asher tzivah Hashem le'emor. This is in chapter 17, psukim Aleph through Hey. So this is what he said. This is what Hashem says to say. Ish mi beis Yisrael, any person from the house of Israel, asher yishchad shorei kesav ha'ez b'machane, he wants to take an ox or a lamb or a goat in the encampment, asher yishchad michutz l'machane, or he wants to slaughter it outside of the encampment. Al pesach omed lo yehevi'oi. And does not bring it to the entrance of the tent of meeting, lakriv karban Hashem, to bring it as a sacrifice to Hashem, lifnei mishkan Hashem, in front of the mishkan, the sanctuary, right? There's the inner area, the kodesh and the kodesh hakodashim. In front of that, in the courtyard of the mishkan was the altar. So if you didn't bring it there in front of Hashem, dam yechashev la'isha hu dam shafach. The person who's done so, it's as if they've spilled blood. It's tantamount to murder. Okay? Don't do it. Don't bring karbonos outside of the Mishkan. The sacrifices that the Jewish people previously would bring out in the fields. They would bring sacrifices on bamos, on public altars. Bring all those animals in. Bring them to the Beis HaMikdash. Bring them to the Mishkan. Make sure it's brought to Hashem there. Okay, so those are the psukim. And we're going to see, I believe we'll see from the Medrash, we're going to seemingly go off on a tangent, but I think that it teaches us a depth in what is the concept behind bringing these karbanos exclusively in the Mishkan. You can't bring them anywhere you want. Now there's a Mishkan. You got to bring it to the Mishkan. That's the place where we meet Hashem. In a certain, like, conceptual sense, just to give a little heads up, you know, it's like, can I serve Hashem however I want? Or are there rules to this relationship? Can I do whatever I want in my relationship with Hashem? Or does he have requirements? And I was thinking about a mashal of a man and a woman. The husband likes violets. The wife likes roses and despises violets. And the husband brings to his wife violets because he thinks that's how he expresses love. But the wife says, I hate violets, and throws them in his face. Says, bring me roses. Right? A relationship, if I want to show love to somebody, I got to speak their love language. If they love roses, I got to bring them roses. And in our relationship with Hashem, it's the same way. Hashem wants us to serve him in a certain way. Right? And clearly, everything that Hashem does, He created us. So He wants us to serve Him in a certain way. It's for our benefit, of course. But we might have other ways of thinking. We might have other ways of believing that this is how we serve Hashem, but we got to serve Hashem, so to speak, in His way. The carbon that we are bringing is not brought wherever we want to. We bring it inside. We bring it in the Mishkan. But let's see together a few other ideas that relate to this, and we'll see, we'll bring it back to the Mishkan, and we'll see a deep idea. Ish mibeis Yisrael asher yishchat shorei kesev ve'eis. The pasuk says, any person from the children of Israel that will bring a sacrifice, they need to bring it in the Mishkan. Hadau dichsiv Yisrael eretz bakoli. We're going to quote a pasuk in Koheles, and we're going to give a few other explanations for it, and we're going to bring it back to Korbanos. The pasuk says, Yisrael eretz bakoli. Pasuk in Koheles in Ecclesiastes, Perikei, Pasuk Ches, that there's an advantage in the land in everything. There's an advantage in the land in everything. What does it mean? Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Nechemiah, Rabbi Yehuda, Amar, Afilu Dvorm Shatem Royim V'Yisra'in La'olam. You see something in the world, it looks like it's extraneous. It's not necessary. What do I need all these bugs for? Right? Avhei Mechlal Anesa Shal Olam Hein. Everything in the world has a place, everything has a purpose. Siva Lamebad Chavla. See, I have a palm tree, and wrapping around the palm tree, there's a vine that's growing up the palm tree. It's annoying. I want the palm tree to be free of any other things. I want it to look beautiful. Why do there have to be these vines? Says the Medrash, no, you take that vine, cut it off, make a rope. Siva Lamesoch Nunya. Nanyo, another kind of plant that seems to be extra, unnecessary, but you can take it and you can use it, he says here, to sweeten an herb that's bitter. Okay, so something that seems extra, unnecessary, but there's no such thing as extraneous in the world. Everything has a purpose. Everything has a reason for being there. Okay, so that's concept number one. Everything has a purpose. Everything is important. But then we have the flip side of that. Melech l'sada ne'avad. The pasuk says afterwards in Koheles, it says that a king is a servant of the field. A king is the servant of the field. Which means to say, let's see, afilu hu melech hu shalem yisef o'en avad seifoi l'sada ne'avad. You can be a king. You have dominion over the entire world. But you are still subservient to the field, which means to say, if let's say the food produces, there's produce of the field, there's grain, there's fruits, there's vegetables. If you have the produce, so then you're fed and you can serve your country, you can be a good king. If there's no food, you can't serve your country. So the king is subservient to the field. Okay, the king, despite his great power, his power only extends so far. He's still limited. And he needs that farmer, one of his own subjects, perhaps considered a lowly subject. He needs his subjects to help him in order to be able to help them. Says the Medrash, therefore, having a lot of money, it's a nice thing, but it's not enough. Having money is great. Pasuk is saying that, as Mefarshim explained, having money is nice, but if you don't have the produce of the field, you're missing something fundamental. Your money won't help you. If you can't eat, you can't spend money. Okay, so it's very interesting. So basically, what the Medrash is saying is, whoever is after money but doesn't have any property, the Medrash is almost giving us financial advice. If you have money but you don't have property, it's not a good investment. It's a mistake. You need to have something that will last longer in a certain sense. Money comes, money goes. But if you have a piece of land, so that can always produce. It's a much better investment. You take your money, you put it into land, and the land will continue to produce, Bezrat Hashem, year after year, the food that you need to live. Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Tanchum, Rabbi Chanan, Rabbi Rabbi, B'Shem, Rabbi Yirmiyah, Ksiv, brings a pasuk, V'yardim Yenoseim, V'gemer El Ha'arts Yamoidu. Similar idea. Guy goes on his ships, he's going out to buy merchandise, he's a merchant, and he comes back on his ship with the merchandise, he sells it. But when he gets off his ship, he's got to stand on solid ground. The pasuk says something which seems obvious. if he gets off his ship, he's obviously going to stand on solid ground. So what is the pasuk saying? Elaharesh shakas finasa shel echa beyom yesh lekarka ala aretz yamoid. Pasuk is implying something else, that if you're a merchant and you have a ship, your ship can sink. Your merchandise can be lost. Your efforts can come to naught. However, if you also have land, the land is something you can stand on. If a person doesn't have land, there's no greater foolishness than this. So basically the Medrash is telling us a financial truth, but it's also telling us a spiritual truth. And that is, make sure you invest in the things that last. Make sure you invest in the things that last. You want to know where to put your money? Put your money into a piece of land in Eretz Yisrael. This is where the future is. Don't invest in Chutz La'aretz, where the future is bleak. Klal Yisrael's future is in Eretz Yisrael. Invest in the future. That's really what the Medrash is saying. I'm extending it to be talking about something different, but the Medrash is saying, invest in the things that last. Rabbi Nechemia Amar V'yisrael Eretz Bakolhi. He says another pshat. He says that afilu dvar mashata roya oisin yisrael lamadin Torah. The first part of the pasuk we said before is talking about there are things that seem extra in the world. Everything has a purpose. Everything has a necessary reason for being there. Now let's look at the Torah. Let's look at the Torah itself. There are mitzvahs that were not explained as much. They seem to be, so to speak, extra. They weren't explained at Har Sinai in the same way. You got the tzitzis, tefillin, and mezuzah, right? The Torah says, gotta put tzitzis on. Doesn't explain exactly what they are, exactly how they are made, exactly all of the different details of the law. It doesn't say it explicitly in the Torah. Laws of tzitzis, the laws of tefillin, the laws of mezuzah, all these things. Av hei mechal man Torah. But don't think that just because the details weren't mentioned in the Torah, so therefore it's extra and it's not important. Right? The Torah says, "Kichol advarim." It had on them like all of the matters. Rabbi Shimon Levi Omar, "Va'aleim kichol advarim." Chesiv kol mitzvah sharanoich ve'goymer. Kol kichol advarim advarim mitzvah hamitzvah. Mikra mishnah halachas talmud tosef that godes afilu mashu talmud vosik osi lomer lefnei rabbi.
Everything is included in Torah. Everything is included in Torah. Every detail of the tzitzis. Every detail of the tefillin, every detail of the mezuzah, how you make it, what it looks like, where you put it, all the halachas, every halach of Shabbos, it's given at Har Sinai. Not only that, but even the things that we're going to say right here, right now, in 2026, 5786, everything that a future student of Torah is going to say, that information was given to Moshe Rabbeinu at Har Sinai. Everything was included. He saw a big picture. Another pasuk in Kolos, it says, you might say that this is a new thing. Don't think that any chiddush that you say is new. It's all encompassed in Torah. It was all given. It was there already from long before. Okay, so everything, all of Torah is included in the original revelation. Even the things that we seem to be revealing now, it was all given as a download, so to speak, to Moshe Rabbeinu. Okay? There's nothing extra. There's no detail that's not important. And I would say, it's to encourage us, right? Oh, wow, Moshe knew what we're going to say? No. It's to encourage us to say that the chidushim that we say, the new insights that we have, the way that we apply the Torah to this year, 2026, the new depth, the new application, all of that, it's included. All of that was there at the beginning, and it's unfolding. We're watching it unfold. We're watching the Torah unfold in our lives. Melech l'sadeh ne'avod, the second part of the pasuk, which says that the king serves the field. Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Nechemia, Rabbi Yehuda, Omer Melech zeh bal Talmud. It's referring to somebody who is learning one type of Torah, one aspect of Torah, which is Talmud. Talmud means Gemara. Right? It's the way of Talmudic exegesis. I don't even know if that's how you pronounce the word. It's the way of getting from what the psukim say to understand what is the application of it. Right, that's the Gemara is. But that person who learns how to learn it out from the pasuk, so l'sadeh nevi is a Baal Mishnah. He still needs the Baal Mishnah. The Baal Mishnah is somebody who knows the halachas. You have to know how to figure it out from the pasuk, but you got to know where the end is. So somebody who knows the halachas, who knows the Mishnah, which means basically the tick-tock, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, of what is the lamaisa, what is the actual things that we do, what is the explicit will of Hashem, show seder halacha lefanav. You got to know that. If you want to be a Baal Talmud, you want to understand the depths, you want to figure out how we know it. How did we figure out that that's the halacha? But you got to know what the halacha is to start with, in order to see the depth from before. Okay. Now the measure says the opposite as well. Rabbi Nechemia, Amir Melech, Zebal Mishnah. The Sadeh Nevad, Zebal Talmud. The opposite is also true. The opposite is also true. What's the opposite? That a person who knows the halachas also needs to know how you get there. He needs to have an explanation from the person who knows how to find the explanations. So, a person who's focused on one aspect of Torah has to also have he's subservient to a person who knows the other aspects of Torah. And having one thing is not enough. Says the Medrash, if you like to have a lot, so you're not going to have, it's not going to be what you're looking for. You need to have the karka, like we said before. You need to have the earth. You need to have a piece of land. What does it mean in this context to have a piece of land? The first aspect is that if a person has Torah, he's learning, he's studying, he's trying to understand the will of Hashem, but he doesn't have the depth of what goes on under the surface of how we get there. So he's missing. He's missing. If a person just does things superficially, so then he's missing the depth of it. He's missing the connection. The connection into HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's possible. Okay, so it's not enough to have action. You need to have the depth of understanding of why we're doing this action. But then the Medrash says one last thing here in this context, which I think is really the depth of it. He says that if a person learns what he doesn't teach, so there's no greater foolishness than this. There's no greater emptiness than this. Which means to say, as I understand it, based on the perhaps a parallel from to the previous concept in the Medrash, where do I want to invest myself? I want to invest myself in something that lasts. I want to take my time. I want to take my Torah learning. How do I get the most out of it? What's the long-term investment in advice? The message seems to me to be saying that if I'm just learning, that's nice. I'm just collecting money and I'm spending the money. I'm learning for myself. But when I start teaching, when I start giving it over to somebody else, when I teach my children, when I give over in a podcast, when I teach a shir in a yeshiva. So I'm paying it forward, so to speak. I'm doing something that's going to last. I'm doing something that's solid. You know, just like when I have a piece of land, so it's going to bring returns. I'm going to have fruits and crops every year from that piece of land. Whereas the money that I get, I take it, I spend it. It's a one-time deal. I need something that gives me consistent income, passive income. It's the same thing in Ruchnius. It's the same thing in learning Torah. When I teach, I'm giving it over to somebody else who's going to produce fruits later as well. The teaching that I'm giving is not just for myself. It's also something that's going to last beyond me. Now let's come back. We're going to talk for a moment about the karbanos. And the Medrash says something which is profound. And I think that it really parallels what we've been speaking about in these two other concepts. Rabbi Chama bar Papa b'shem Rabbi Yehuda b'Reb Simon Omar b'Yisr Bama ha'Yisra makrivim v'midbar ha'shalahukam ha'mishkan. As we said at the beginning, originally, when the Jewish people were in the Midbar, they were allowed to bring korbanos before there was a Mishkan on a bama, on a public altar. Didn't have to be in a specific location. And I would add, Moshe Rabbeinu, when he would receive a nevuah, he could receive a nevuah anywhere, a prophecy, he could speak to God anywhere. But when it came to the building of the Mishkan, once there was a Mishkan, he had to hear Hashem's voice only. He could only hear Hashem's voice in the Mishkan. Originally, Medrash says, person could bring a korban on Obama, and the avoda, the service was done by the firstborn males. Once there was a Mishkan, you couldn't bring a korban wherever you want, and not anybody could bring those korbanos. It had to be done by Kohan, by priests, children of Aaron. And so, the thing is like this, that did the Jews do this properly? Did we toe the line on bringing our karbanos in the correct place? The Medrash says, no, we didn't. We didn't. We made a mistake. They would bring karbanos on altars outside of the Mishkan at that time. And we do find in Tanakh that that was a long-standing issue that Klal Yisrael had. They would bring karbanos on a public altar instead of bringing it to the Beis HaMikdash, to the temple. So they actually did this already in the times of the wilderness, says the Medrash. And the result was that disasters happened to the Jewish people. There was a tremendous negative impact of it. We thought we're serving Hashem. We're trying to serve Hashem our way. We're bringing Hashem violets, but Hashem wants roses. But the result was that bad things happened. And it was a chil Hashem because it looked terrible. Look, they're serving him. People of the nations of the world would say, hey, the Jews are serving him, but God is letting them die. He's killing them. So Moshe Rabbeinu is enjoined to tell the Jewish people, there's one place that you got to bring your korbanos. You don't want stuff to happen to you. Bring it to the right place. Just like Moshe Rabbeinu can only hear my voice in the Mishkan, in the tabernacle. The place to have a relationship with Hashem is in the Mishkan, in the Beis HaMikdash, in Eretz Yisrael, I'll add. This is the place. Can you have a relationship with Hashem elsewhere? Yes, you can. Is Eretz Yisrael the main place where our relationship is? Yes, it is. Yes, it is. The Beis HaMikdash is the place to bring those karbanos. And when we bring the karbanos outside, it results in danger. It results in piranhas. Yeah. Eretz Yisrael has a special protection. It's not to say there's no danger here. But Eretz Yisrael is a special protection. The Nazis couldn't get into the land of Israel. They were stopped at the gates. HaKadosh Baruch Hu protects us specially in Eretz Yisrael. Look at the wars that we've been fighting of late. Look at the amazing special protection Hashem has given to us. But what I want to bring out from here is that we see from the first two parts of the Medrash. The Medrash gives us the financial advice and he gives us the spiritual advice. Invest in the long-lasting investment, the thing that gives you the most returns, buy karka, buy land, have students, teach students. Don't just get the money for yourself and spend it. That's a short-term thing. You get money, you spend the money. Take your money and invest it in something deep. Take your carbon, don't bring it outside of the Beis HaMikdash. That's like spending money. That's not the deep investment. When you bring a korban to the Beis HaMikdash, this is how I understand what the Medrash is trying to imply. When you bring a korban to the Beis HaMikdash, what you're really saying is, I believe in what it says in that Torah, inside of that Aron. Inside of the Torah, inside of that Aron, which is the Mishkan Hashem, right? We said in the Pasuk, as we read it, it stuck out. We're supposed to bring the korban on the altar in front of the Mishkan Hashem, in front of the tabernacle. What's the tabernacle? It's really the place which houses the Kodesh, the Kodesh HaKadoshim. It houses the Kodesh, which has in it the Mizbeach Hazav, the golden altar, which is a small altar, the incense offering, and it has the Shulchan, which has the Lechem Aponim. Both of those two things represent our relationship with Hashem, the menorah, our spiritual relationship with Hashem, and in the Holy of Holies is the Aron, the special box which contains within it the Torah, which is the ultimate relationship with Hashem, which is the greatest expression of what Hashem wants from us. When I bring a carbon in front of the Mishkan, what I'm really saying is, Hashem, I want you, I want a relationship with you on your terms. It's not just, I'm going to bring this carbon wherever I want. Oh, Hashem, forgive me for the sin I've done. Oh, Hashem, I want to thank you even on my terms. That's a carbon outside of the Beis HaMikdash, outside of the Mishkan. No, it's in front of the Mishkan Hashem. It's inside of the Beis HaMikdash. That's the real investment. That's the long-lasting investment. It's important to have a relationship with Hashem anywhere. That's true. I can ask Hashem for anything. I can ask Hashem for success in a card game I'm going to win, backgammon game. I can ask Hashem for success in my business. I can ask Hashem for anything. But what's the main thing I want to ask Hashem for? I want to ask Hashem for success in my relationship with Him. I want to ask Hashem for success in my learning. I want to ask Hashem for success in my teaching. I want to ask Hashem for success in my relationship with Him, the greatest investment ever. I want to ask Hashem to have something which lasts forever. The thing that lasts forever is wherever I plant those seeds in a piece of land, which is the Beis HaMikdash of the Mishkan, which is that eternal relationship between me and Hashem, my children and Hashem, people around me and Hashem. That's where I want it to go. That's where I want my investment to be. That's where I want to bring my carbon. That's where I want to bring my sacrifice. I want to get inside of the Mishkan Hashem. I want to bring it here. I want to get inside of Eretz Yisrael, which is the Mishkan Hashem. Chazal say that whoever lives in Chutz La'aretz is Dayim L'Misha Ein L'Elokah. It's like they don't have a God. What they're really saying is that it's easy to get distracted there. It's easy to lose sight of what is the center. Is it getting rich? Is it having wherewithal? I need those things. I need parnas. I need livelihood. Those are important. But I need them so that I have the real investment, the real piece of land, which is my relationship with Hashem. And when I live in Eretz Yisrael, so I'm reminded of that all the time, that this is what it's really about. And when I forget that, they're going to remind me. The people around me are going to remind me. The whether it's my community or whether it's my enemies. They might remind me with ballistic missiles. Reminds me of something that I heard recently that Rav Shmuel Eliyahu said, that the Arabs have been coming less and less to Har HaBayis because they've seen how the Jews are doing ishtachavoya. Those who, obviously they have Rabbanim who permit them to go up there. They've been doing ishtachavoya, they've been falling completely on their faces in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the Arabs recognize that when we fall on our faces, when we make ourselves completely subservient to Hashem, they're afraid. And that's it. That's the essence of what it's about. Bringing that carbon in front in the Mishkan shows me that this is what it's about. Even my relationship with Hashem is for the relationship with Hashem, not for my own self-serving needs. I want to bless you. I ask you to bless me. Hashem should help us. That we should be able indeed to recognize, to take all of our investments, to take all of the things that we do and direct them, bring them into the Mishkan. Bring them into the Mishkan. Hashem should help us that we should be able to make the right investments, have the right pieces of land, have the right actions that indeed unfold here in this world and extend on forever in our relationship with Hashem. Thank you so much for listening. Have a wonderful Shabbos.
This podcast was made possible through the gracious donations of listeners like you. For more podcasts like this, please visit www.arigoldwag.com or search on iTunes, Ari Goldwag.